We'll turn tonight to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 8. The parallel passage is in Mark 5. It's Luke 8, Mark 5. But we read Luke's account. Luke chapter 8, verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And then we go down to the verse 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat, and her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. The verse 54, he put them all out. He put them all out. No entrance. He put them all out. This portion that we read, there's a house. It's a very important house in Capernaum because, you see, it's the ruler of the synagogue's house. It's no mean house. It's close to the synagogue, no doubt. You can visit Capernaum today. The remains of the synagogue are there, the foundations of them, as in Jesus' day. This ruler of the synagogue at that time was a man called Jairus. And we read here that he besought Jesus that he would come into his house. That's what it says there in verse 41, that Jesus would come into his house. He wants Jesus to come into his house. His daughter's sick. He wants Jesus to come into his house to heal her. By the time that Jesus gets to the house, the daughter has died. And then it's a sad house. But it is going to be a greatly privileged house. It's a house that Jesus is going to work in. It's a house that Jesus is going to do a mighty thing in which he's going to raise the dead. But a whole lot of people are not going to see it. They're going to miss it. Jesus is going to work in this house, but a whole lot of people are not going to see it. They're going to miss it. They're not going to be allowed to see it. You see, the house has a door, and not everybody is going to be allowed in. Not everybody's going to get entrance. Some are going to be shut out. Many are going to be outside the door. They're not going to see what Jesus does. They're not going to be allowed to see. They're going to miss out. They're going to miss out. I hope that we are not among that number. That because of certain things, Jesus isn't going to bring us in to see him work. He's going to keep us out. He's going to shut us out. I hope we're not that people. You see, that's what's really happening in this passage. The first indication of it is actually in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 5 and the verse 37. He suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John. So they've come to the ruler of the synagogue and to Jesus, and they say, "Your daughter's dead, don't trouble the master anymore." In verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard that word, he saith to the ruler of the synagogue, "Don't be afraid, only believe." And then it says, he suffered no man to follow him. See, Peter and James and John, the brother of James, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. That's the first indication that Jesus is going to shut people out. He suffered no man to follow him to the ruler's house. He said to them, "You go home. All of you go home. Don't be following me. Don't be coming to Jairus' house." He didn't suffer anybody to follow him save Peter and James and John, and he came to the ruler of the synagogue's house. Only Peter, James and John got to the courtyard. He wouldn't suffer the rest of them. They're not going to see. And then we read there in Luke, our account in Luke, in Luke chapter 8, we read in verse 51, when he came into the house, now he's coming into the house, and he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. He suffered no man to go in. Now, why Peter, James and John? I think because they're the closest to the Lord. I think they're the closest to the Lord. I think they're the ones who love him the most. They're the ones who always got close to the Lord Jesus, who kind of lay on his breast at the meal table, who kind of brought him home to his house. You know, he came home to Peter's house in Capernaum, stayed in Peter's house. These were the ones who he called at the very start, who were with him from the very start when he called them as they were fishing. Peter, James and John. You want to see Christ work in the house, you have to be close to him. He took with him Peter, James and John. He wouldn't suffer anybody else to follow. Just Peter, James, and John. To see the Lord work, you have to get into his inner circle. You have to be really close to him. You have to be really near to him. You have to really love him. Really love him. Really love Jesus. Now, we all love Jesus. But we can love him more. And the more we love him, the more he'll show us things. And so that's why he took, I believe, Peter, James and John. Now, if we're distant from him, and if we're cold and indifferent, then the Lord won't show us things to the same extent. You see, Peter, James and John, they had faults, of course, they had faults, but they're the very faithful ones. Peter's called a stone. He's Christ-like. He's not a rock, not a solid rock the way Jesus is, but he's a stone. He's kind of like Christ. There's something solid about him, even though he's small. And then James and John, they're the sons of thunder. They have fire and zeal. And they have this love and devotion to Christ, even though sometimes it misjudges and does things that aren't quite right. But they have this warmth for the Lord. And if we're walking and close with Christ, brethren and sisters, we'll get into the house with him. We'll get into the house with him to see things. There are some people don't care about the house. And there are some people, they don't care whether they go in or not. It doesn't really matter much to them. They're easily put off. If the Lord suffers them not, they're easily put off. But Peter, James and John, they're committed. So you have to walk closely with the Lord Jesus to get brought in to see him working. Not being close to Christ shuts you out. That's what the passage teaches. Not being close to Christ shuts you out. Shuts you out. But there's something else that stands out as well. We read there in verse 53, they laughed him to scorn. Verse 52 says, he comes in, there's a whole lot of people there, they're all weeping and wailing already in the house. So there's the ones he wouldn't let come in, and then when he gets into the house, there's a whole lot of people in the house, they're weeping and wailing, they're making a great noise, they're sad. And he says to them, don't weep, she's not dead, but she sleepeth. You see, Jesus doesn't like the word dead. Jesus doesn't use the word dead. He's the resurrection and the life. There's no death to him. There's only sleep. He wakes them all up. He wakes them all up. She sleepeth. To me, she sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. What a silly word. What a silly thing to say. They knew she's dead. They're the physicians. They know all about science. They know about the breath of the body. They know. They know she's dead. They know better than the Son of God. They know better than what he says. So they laughed. They laughed him to scorn. They mocked Christ's word. They didn't take his word serious. They made fun of his word. And they're filled with unbelief and mockery. And brethren and sisters, it's a serious thing to make light of God's word. It's a serious thing to make light of it, whether it's a scripture text or whether it's the preached spoken word of God from a pulpit. Fools make a mock of sin. But what will become those who make mock and joke and jest about the things of God and about the preaching and about the word of God? Here was people had no reverence. They had no... One minute they're weeping. The next minute they're laughing and joking and having a big giggle among themselves. Utterly irreverent. No fear of God. Jesting around the word of God, making a big joke, a big laughing matter. And they have this disrespect, and they've no fear of the Lord, and they have this rotten, sinful attitude about the word. Brothers and sisters, don't have a rotten, sinful attitude about the word. They laughed him to scorn. Don't mock the things of God. Don't show irreverent behavior around the word of Christ. Don't do that. That's what they're doing. So they're filled with unbelief and they laugh at the word of God. You don't do that. And I tell you why you don't do that. It says in verse 54, he put them all out. He put them all out. He only suffered Peter and James and John and the mother and the father to come in. And those who were already inside, he put them all out. They all went out. Every one of them were put out. You see, unbelief puts you out. It puts you out. It shuts you out. Unbelief will shut you out as well as distance from Christ. Unbelief and irreverence in the presence of Christ will shut you out from blessing. It'll shut you out from seeing the Lord's hand. Do you remember how it says in the Hebrews about the people of God and Israel of old? It says, they entered not in. They didn't get in. He put them out.
He shut them out because of unbelief.
They didn't get in.
And that's an awful thing, brethren and sisters. If our reverence for the word of Christ, or our unbelief of the word, if it shuts us out. You know, unbelief's an awful thing. It's not indifference. It's wickedness. And the Lord will put you out. He'll put you out. He can still do it. No, I'm not meaning literally out the door. No, no. I'm meaning in such a way that you don't see him. You don't see what Peter, James and John saw. You're not going to have the blessing that they had. He'll shut you out. He'll shut you out. It's an awful thing. We wouldn't want that, would we? To be shut out, to be at the wrong side of the door. To be at the wrong side of the door for the Lord just to take some of us. To take some of us in. And maybe to keep some of us out. And only some of us see the blessing and feel the blessing and experience the hand of God. And the others, they're on the other side of the door and they don't. He put them out. This is the meek and lowly Jesus. He put them all out. He put them all out. They'll never see the breath of the Spirit. Wouldn't that be an awful thing if the Lord puts us out and we'll never see a move of the Holy Spirit. We'll never see a move of God. We'll never see a great awakening because the Lord's put us out. We'll never see it. We'll all be on the other side of the door. That'd be an awful thing, wouldn't it? A wave of reviving sweeping through the church and saints quickened and refreshed, and we don't see it. So we need to be close to the Lord Jesus. And we need to have faith and reverence and faith in his word and treat his word with respect and with utter reverence and not mock and laugh and jest about the things of God. That's foolishness. And the Lord will put us out. There were two others that got in. Peter, James and John got in, but the father and the mother, they got in too. They weren't put out. Now what stands out about them, the father and the mother? What stands out about them? Why did they get in? Why did they see Christ work? Why were they not shut out as well? And you know why, don't you? You know why. Because they genuinely cared, that's why. They were genuinely burdened. They were genuinely heavy-hearted about their daughter. They had come to Christ with a heavy heart, with tears, with brokenness. They're not going to be shut out. The heavy-hearted and the burdened, and those who really care, those who really care about seeing the Lord raise the dead, they'll not be shut out. They'll not be shut out. They were broken, burdened hearts. And if you don't care, the Lord will shut you out. And if you don't have a burden, and there's not a heaviness and a brokenness, the Lord will shut us out. He'll shut us out. So these three things determine which side of the door we're on when it comes to experience and seeing and witnessing God's blessing. Are we walking close with Jesus? Are we believing and reverencing his word, whatever he says? And do we care and have a burden? So these three things are the factors, I think, that come out here. Only five got in. Only five, that's all. There are scores of others who are near and around the vicinity, but they didn't get in. Isn't that sad? That's sad. But however sad it is, brothers and sisters, we want to be among the five.
don't we? We want to be among the five. And Jesus has said to us, come on in, my child. I want to show you something that nobody else is going to see. I want to show you my hand of blessing. I want to show you it. I'm going to shut all the rest of the night, but I want to show you it.
I don't know about you, but I want to be that man among that five. I'm sure you do too.
Life's too short, isn't it? We want to be drawn into the blessing. The right side of the door, that's where we want to be. They're missing out. And not only were they not going to see it, there's something else. They weren't even going to hear about it. The Lord doesn't even want them to hear about it. Do you see that? He charged them that no man should know what was done.
And he means those outside.
He shut them out. They weren't to see. And they weren't even to hear. They weren't even to hear. He charged them. Don't be telling anybody.
There was only five. Saw and heard.
That's all. Only five. The rest were shut out. And they weren't to see anything. And they weren't even to get a report about it.
That was serious. That's how the Lord views us. Unbelief and irreverence and the nonsense around his word.
That's how serious he views it.
That's how serious he views it.
They'll see nothing and they'll hear nothing.
That's simply put. This is the word of God here. Only five. That's all.
Unbelief misses out.
Do you remember how it says concerning when he came to Nazareth, his hometown? He says that he did not do many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. Now, unbelief is wickedness. And unbelief doesn't take in doubts. It takes in all the nonsense that goes on with doubts and unbelief. The rejection of them, the bad attitude towards them, and all the rest. It takes in all of that. And that's the way the people of Nazareth were towards Jesus. But it all came out of a heart of unbelief. He wouldn't do anything among them because of that. And here in Capernaum, on this particular occasion, only five, that's all, just five. Now, what did the unbelievers miss? That's what I want to think about now for a few minutes. What did those who were distant from the Lord not see? What did those mockers and those irreverent people, those careless and indifferent people, weeping one time and laughing the next, what did those careful, careless, indifferent people miss? What did they not see? What did the five only see? What did the folly of the unbelievers cause them to miss? Well, I'll tell you what they missed. If you look at the text there, it says, he put them all out, and then he took her, that's the maiden, by the hand. Jesus, with his hands, is putting them all out. Putting them all out.
Out the door, out the door. And he shuts the door behind them.
And then he goes to the little maid. And with the same hand that put them all out, that same hand touches the little girl. That was a gentle hand. They didn't see that. They didn't see that. They didn't see the Saviour's touch. They didn't see it.
They didn't see the character of Jesus revealed in that touch. He took her hand. He took her by the hand. They missed that. They missed that gentleness of our Lord. They only saw Jesus who put them out. They only saw Jesus who rebuked. They only saw Jesus who shut the door.
They didn't see a Jesus in his gentler aspect. He took her hand. They didn't see that. They missed out on that. They thought Jesus a hard Jesus. They thought him a harsh Christ. Whenever the five saw Jesus took in her hand, how do you think they felt? I know how they felt. They were melted. They were melted. This dead girl, 12 years of age, this dead girl, and Jesus comes and he takes her hand. And everybody, the five are standing there, and they're just melted at the scene. They missed out on that. They weren't melted. Those outside the door weren't melted. Those outside the door were hard. Those outside the door couldn't weep. They'd have no tear. There'd be no melting at all. But those inside the door, those five, they saw something that melted them. That melted them. Do we melt when we see Jesus? When we see his hand? Do we melt at his gentleness? His gentleness that makes us great. Have we ever melted at that? Have we seen something about Jesus that has just melted our hearts? Do we look at Calvary and look at the cross and our hearts aren't melted? Is there something wrong? Has the Lord shut us out? Are we the outside of the door? Has he not brought us in to see the melting? Has he not brought us in to see his gentleness? Has he not brought us in to win our hearts? Has he shut us out because of our hardness, because of our unbelief, because of our attitude to the Word of God? Has he shut us out? Does Calvary not melt us anymore? Then it must be unbelief and carelessness and hardness of heart. And would Ra have a laugh and make a mock about these things and be serious like our Lord? And so they missed out on that. That seeing the gentleness and the kindness and the melting. They missed out on that. And then they missed out on hearing his word, because he took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise! Maid, arise!" In fact, Mark tells us what the Aramaic is. Talitha kumi. Little maid, I say unto thee, arise. My little lamb, wake up. They didn't hear Jesus saying that. They didn't hear those words, the Aramaic words. They didn't hear Jesus. You know, those are the words that you would say when you were waking the wee girl up in the morning. Those are the words that mother would have woke her up every morning with. Talitha kumi, my little lamb, it's time to get up for school. It's time to arise. It's time to get up. All the children are out on the street. They're making their way to school. Talitha kumi, arise. He just spoke to her like that. Like a mother. Oh, what a sweet word Jesus spoke. But those outside the door didn't hear. They didn't hear. They didn't hear that still small voice. No, they missed out on that. Unbelief stops you hearing Christ. Oh, you can hear sermons. You can hear all the sermons in the world. But unbelief will stop you hearing Christ. You'll not hear the still small voice. You'll not hear that personal word from Jesus to your heart. You'll not hear that on the other side of the door. You'll not hear that. No. Only the five hear that. Only those who are close to the Lord. Only those who have the faith and the reverence and the respect for the Word of God. Only those who care. They'll hear it. Do you remember how it says that concerning the people of Israel, that the Word of God did not profit them? That's an awful thing, isn't it? Have you ever profited from the Word in this house? The Word of God did not profit them. That's a sad thing, isn't it?
not being mixed with faith than them that heard it. They heard the word, but they're still on the other side of the door because it didn't profit them, because they hadn't faith. It wasn't mixed with faith in them, and the word didn't profit. Unbelief puts you on the other side of the door, and you don't get any profit or blessing from the word of Christ. Oh, you do want to be there. So they missed out on hearing that powerful, gentle word of Jesus. That still, small voice that woke this girl. And then they missed out on seeing Christ's power and his work. He said unto her, little maid, arise. And what happened? Whoosh, her spirit came again. Her spirit that had left her and gone into eternity. Her spirit that had departed. It came back again. Her soul came back again. And she arose straightway. Oh, and these five saw it. I don't know who saw her spirit departing whenever there was that gasp, but these five saw it coming back, and she gasped again. She's alive. She arose. The power of Christ. They saw the power of Christ. They saw the dead raised. Oh, they're a privilege. The others outside the door didn't see it. Oh, no doubt they'll see the wee girl walking about soon enough. But they'll not hear how she come to be walking about. They'll not know what happened in there. They'll see the fruit and the evidence of it. But only these five had the privilege of being at a life bed chamber. We've been at death bed chambers. Have we ever been at life bed chambers? Have I? That's where I want to be. There is a blessing in a deathbed chamber. I know it. Where the person is saved. Oh, it's not so nice when the person's not. But the best chamber of all is a life bed chamber. When the dead live. When souls are saved. Oh, to see souls saved. For the Lord to bring us into a house. To bring us into a house. Whoever else he shuts out. To bring us into a house. Where we see souls saved. Is that what we want? The dead to live. Oh, so these five saw that. Unbelief shut the rest out. They didn't see a thing. But the faith of these five did. And so they missed the astonishment. It says there that her parents were astonished. Oh, have we ever seen the Lord do something that's astonished us? How long has it been from we've been in a house and we've seen the Lord do something that utterly astonished us? Why does the Lord not show us things that astonish us? Maybe because we're shut out. We're shut out. He put them all out so they're not going to see any astonishing things. Oh. These parents are going to be able to sing. These parents are going to be filled with gladness and praise. They're going to be able to sing. But those outside, they're not astonished. And then they missed out on the Lord's aftercare. He commanded to give her meat. I like that. You see, everybody's so excited. They're so astonished. Oh, they're just so happy. She's living. She's alive. She's alive. And they've forgotten she was sick for days. And she hadn't been eating for days. They forgot about that. In the excitement. In the astonishment. But you know the Lord Jesus. He sees everything. He sees all her needs. He sees that we hadn't had food for days. And he calmed them all down and he commanded, get her some food. Get her something to eat. They saw that the Lord really cared. And it wasn't just about power. It was about cure and love. They saw that the Lord cared. They saw that the Lord saw all her real needs.
They forgot about her needs, but they saw that the Lord didn't. So they were getting new glimpses of Jesus Christ in that room. And all those outside weren't seeing those things. They didn't know that Jesus. But those five inside, they knew that Jesus. Do we know Jesus, brethren and sisters? Do we really know him? Do we really know him? Have we really been taught in the room? Has he showed us things? And all the trials and all the problems of life and all the things that we face, is he teaching us? Are we in the room? And we're seeing that he cures. And we're seeing that he sees our needs. And we see that he provides for our needs. He's careful to provide for our needs. Do we see that Jesus is so lovely? So good. So great. And so they saw that the Lord sees our needs and knows our needs and meets our needs. But unbelief doesn't see that Jesus. Unbelief gives us a distorted view of Christ. Did you hear me? Unbelief gives you a distorted view of Christ. It's only faith that brings you in to see Jesus as he is. Well, we leave it there. But we do want to be on the right side of the door, brethren and sisters, because life is very short. We don't want to spend it on the wrong side.